Well, hello everybody, and welcome again to the Weirdly Magical Podcast. And I am Lou, and this is Jen. And today we're going to be talking about the Leo new moon that is on August the 19th, 2020, at 3:41 a.m. in London. So it'll actually be on the 18th for a lot of us in the US. But we always look at the universal time for our podcast. And before we dive in, though, let's introduce ourselves and pull a couple of cards. So, Jen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jen, Jen Dushen of JenDushen.com. I'm an Akashic reader, healer, teacher, creator of the Illuminating Journey Cards, and author of Leshi Cocoon. And my work is all about helping my clients to activate their free will.
Cool. And I am Lou, or Louise, and I am an astrologer and also a writer. I'm the author of two books, Modern Astrology and The Complete Guide to Astrology. And I do astrology. And just before we look at our cards, I do want to just remind everybody that we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/weirdlymagical. For just $3 a month, you can support our work because there's a few running costs for the podcast. And I think we're about halfway now to doing Patreon only content. We'll get there one day. And we do take questions. I don't think we have any this month. I haven't seen any come in. Have you, Jen?
I don't think so. My mind's wondering if we did get something.
We could look in a minute while we do. Right. I haven't seen any come in. So there's that. And so let's look at the cards. Jen, while you show your card while I have a look.
All right, so actually I pulled two cards because I pulled the tool, the crystal tool, which is about light, and then the soul portal, which is the four. And fascinating that this is all very red. The energy is very galactic and yet earthy. So what does it say here? From spaceship to temple, the energies awaken into substance and take form. So some people see this card as very destructive. I think it can be both. It really is about the energy of life and death, the renewal process. For those of you who can't see, there's a spaceship. It's all red. There's the rocks. I believe that's in Sedona. The bottom is what is a Greek temple, and then there's a woman with a big red dress. So a lot of energy about the potential of using what is, or breaking away from what the old is. So very fiery, very active, awakening the light within, the choices, the sense of who we are, stepping into the energy of you know, our own making. And especially when you think about this in terms of the light coming in, I do love the fact that it's very galactic and yet so earthy. So it's this landscape of potential, and in the potential of breaking free from any rigidity, any idea of who we're supposed to be, there's this energy coming forward of being remade, renewed in a new light. And so thinking about in terms of the crystal of that, how you use light or the crystal to move through the dark, through the things that are probably containing you or holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
Light is the way forward, you know, or how you wield the energy of light into kind of the landscape, right?
Your card reminds me a lot, not the crystal one, the other one, reminds me a lot of the tower card.
Right, in a sense it can be. This is a very earthy, but it's about the earth, like the understanding of what we think life is that is breaking apart. So we get to see the substance, the hidden substance of being renewed. And that's kind of what the Tower is about, right? I find it interesting that this and this are kind of like similar.
I did. I didn't realize it was rocks at first. I thought it was like a Stonehenge type of thing.
So, right. It's interesting. When I created the cards, I knew what everything was, but I didn't write it down. So it's just like, oh yeah, where is that? What is that?
Doesn't matter, really.
No, it doesn't matter.
Cool.
Right.
So my card, I was expecting to get a red fiery card like Jen, but no, and I trust the cards. So I actually got the adjustment card, which is the Libra card. And I'm like, why am I getting the Libra card? And then I look in my book and I love the quote for this new moon. The book I have with these cards is by Anjali Zarian, and she has a quote for every card. And the quote is, "Know thyself, nothing in excess. The self is required to balance the self." And that's from the Book of Runes. And that makes sense. And I think will do as we talk about this new moon. But it actually as well drew me to Juno in Libra. Juno has been in Libra for quite a while, and she's kind of been on her own for much of this year. For a long time, she was the only main body that I look at that was not in the draconic bowl of the nodes. In other words, all the other planetary bodies were trapped on one side of the lunar nodes. And Juno in Libra was the kind of the bucket holding all the planets together. And of course, Juno is also Hera, and she was the wife of Zeus or Jupiter. And she was really kind of pretty equal to him in the original pantheon of the gods. You know, there was less hierarchy. They had the Dei Consentis, that was kind of the ruling body of six male gods, six females. So to me, this is what the overarching thing is, that's we're coming back into balance. And I think this is Juno. She's about to oppose some many very major energies in the chart. And I'll talk about that as we go forward. So I think she's a very important figure. Astrology right now. So.
Right. And it's interesting that, you know, you have the blues and minor reds, the contrast of the two, you know, the water and fire, the coolness and the kind of the awareness, the breaking apart and the coming together, which is what this is all about, right? And we shouldn't be afraid of destruction, because destruction lays the groundwork for
restructure.
Yeah, restructure and instruction and all of the new things that come in that we can kind of go, oh, I don't need that anymore. And that's kind of how I feel about when I see my cord, right? I feel that it's always about that kind of breaking away from like old ideas.
I agree. And for those that can't see my card, by the way, who are on audio, I didn't really talk to you about it. It's a figure with the scales, so it is very Libra, and she's very centered in herself. Everything's kind of come into center, and she has a sword pointing down at the ground, so she's definitely kind of got the warrior kind of energy there as well, but it's kind of a very peaceful warrior. So
right, very grounded.
Yeah.
And this card, mine too, is a very grounded card with the, you know, four represents the earth. It's actually, you know, that's why we shouldn't be afraid of destruction, fire, those things, because they ground us and remind us of the essence of renewal.
So the new moon is, a little bit about it, is interestingly at 26 degrees of Leo. And this is, that's an 8, 2 and 6, as Jen will talk about, and this is an 8 card. But it's at 26 degrees of Leo, as I said, on August the 19th in London, with Mercury at 28 degrees of Leo, which is the exact degree of the Great American Eclipse back on August 21st, 2017. It's also that 26 degrees Leo is the degree of President Trump's Mars, and 28 degrees Leo is exactly conjunct his ascendant. So that's going to be interesting. The moon, the new moon, is not only conjunct Mercury, it's also making a fiery grand trine. So here's the fire of Jen's card, to the south node in Sagittarius, and Mars and Eris conjunct in Aries. They're exactly conjunct just 2 days before the new moon. And also the new moon is making an almost exact in conjunct aspect to Saturn in Capricorn. So we'll talk about all of that, with Saturn at 26 degrees as well, and almost to the exact minute those two are in aspect. So there we have Earth, Saturn in Capricorn, Saturn rules Capricorn, and the fire of the new moon and the great the fiery grand trine really creating a bit of a clash. We've got a lot of earth and fire energy. So, all right, Jen.
So yes, interesting. Before I talk about the numbers, what's just coming to mind when you were talking about this is the sense of because of the sun, the moon, and our intelligence, right? How mind translates things, the Mercury. It is almost like this shock to the heart. It's like the, you know, this sense of the explosion of the heart, like whatever's in stuck that has been holding us in a certain place is being forced out, and feels like Saturn, like, you know, the stern father going, you have not been true to yourself, like you betrayed yourself or something like that, right? And there's this kind of like an explosion or things around, like the shock treatment that's happening, this kind of like bursting all of the seams of all of our emotions, all the things we've been kind of hiding so that we can be on our best behavior, and just kind of being,
because of course Leo does rule the heart too,
so. right So that was an interesting vision that I just saw, that as you were talking I was like, oh, that's interesting.
We'll come back to the numbers if that's okay. But yeah, the in conjunct between Saturn and the new moon is 150 degree angle, is one where, you know, they can't quite see each other as well. And it's a definite friction, breaking free kind of destruction aspect, but very like Jen's card, you know. And Saturn in Capricorn is the man-made law and institutions and structures, like the the temple in Jen's card, and it's very kind of jolty, this kind of energy, I think. I've got something else to talk about as well, but
that was interesting, because you were saying the thing, I thought you were going to say the Ten Commandments, but it's kind of like, you know, like these are the rules, like these are the commandments of how we live, and it's like, yeah, all of that structure that's built on, you know, what we thought was a sacred foundation. It's about, you know, honor and about respect and about spirituality, except all of those things just have been, you know, kind of cut away. So there's nothing left. It's just, we're just, you know, paying lip service to all these things, but our hearts have been frozen. And so it's a very interesting thing to think about, how we have honored something that's empty, that, you know, it's done, and so we have to now go through this tunnel of kind of everything around us exploding, flying around, just breaking apart, and we're going like, what's happening? Oh, I thought that was important. And just kind of breaking out of that stupor, you know, that sleep that we've been in, just kind of following. Because, you know, what I was hearing, you know, from the record keepers when you were talking, is this idea of structure, right? Like the man-made rules are made to help us navigate life, and instead it's imprisoning us, right? It has the opposite effect. So it's understanding why we have rules. And so realizing that it's important that the rules are living. They're living in the time we're in. Because having rules like, you know, don't eat pork or whatever the rules are from, you know, the Bible. You know, there was a reason why they had it like that, because at the time, you know, so it's like we've got to evolve and the rules have to evolve so they can hold with the time we're in. And instead of going back and translating, like, in our own interpretation, what it means and saying, no, it means this, no, none of us know because we weren't there. I mean, not in this way. So we need to go, but what works for us now, right? And so that to me is kind of what they're saying.
Yeah, and that applies to kind of all kinds of things, like, you know, why is all our governments set up the way they are? Why are our banking institutions set up the way they are? You know, all those
right. things.
Why do we all think we need to own a home? Why is a family unit seen in a certain way? All this is breaking down and being looked at differently. And
because we're starting to question our kind of just following all of these things, like, you know, nobody is asking, well, that thing doesn't make any sense. Or people that are asking don't have a voice in the, you know, the people that make the structure. And go, well, none of that makes any sense. And to me, that's one of the most valuable things about Trump, for instance, is that he doesn't care about rules, right?
Yeah, he doesn't.
So the beauty of that is he teaches us that we shouldn't care so much about those rules, because they don't, you know, we should certainly have boundaries, but how do we have boundaries? Because we need rules that work for now, not rules that were put in place 500 years ago, 3,000 years ago, that don't make any sense. Like, we don't know why they did those things. We're just doing whatever they did and going, oh yeah, we're cool. We're hanging in with, you know, we have integrity. And it's like, no, we don't. It's just bullshit.
Your head's exploding at the thought of but he's playing his part.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I see what you're saying. Yes. But the big picture here is that we don't always get to choose our teachers, right? But we certainly get to learn whatever we learn. So some people may feel like, no, Trump is this awful person. He's done these awful things. Like, yeah, he has done some things that I certainly don't agree with. Many things that I hope I never won't do in this lifetime. I've probably done them in other lifetimes.
But he's playing a part in breaking down all these rules. You're right. And the fact that his chart is so connected to this new moon is just like, I'm not looking forward with Mercury on his ascendant. I am not looking forward to hearing what he has to say on this new moon, to be quite honest.
But
is what it is, as he said.
It is what it is, exactly. And the point is that what I find interesting, I'll go into the numbers in a minute, but I find interesting is what's happening to him right now is his speech is being questioned, right? So that's very Mercurian, right? Mm-hmm. He's had these interviews in the last 2 weeks that are exposing his weaknesses, his poor thinking skills, his lack of planning, his decision making, his lack of comprehension. And it's so fascinating to see him on the carpet for his thinking. How did you come to this conclusion? And he doesn't have an answer. He just keeps doing what he's always done. But now he's actually having people that are going like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Like before he would just say it and people, and I see that still a lot in the news, the typical news is they don't question. He just says something and they just let him say everything as if that's true. And there's no question. Like, oh yeah. Now he's had people questioning him. So to me, that's the strength of this time, is when you trying to make sense and you haven't made sense all the time and people have acted like you've made sense. And now, you know, now is the moment. It's that moment where people go, but you're not wearing, you know, the emperor has no clothes. Like, move along. You don't have any clothes on. We're not listening to you. It's like, yeah, you couldn't even get dressed. And now you want to tell us.
And I think that's part of that in conjunction to Saturn in Capricorn too, you know, that breaking free of like people going, oh, yes, you're right.
oh, you're the president. Let me bow down and, you know, not question what you're saying. Right. Every word must be true because you said it. And it's like, yeah, we have to, you know, let's just come back to what is true. Let's ground in what's true for us. We can, you know, in a democracy or any kind of conversation, we have the right to ask questions. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people may hurt us for asking questions, but we certainly have to. We can't just take it lying down and just take what people tell us.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so numbers. So very interesting, the 19th. So what I love about that it's on this day is we have the 1 and the 9. So I know in most of America it's on the 18th, which is the 9. So we have the 9 anyway in the 19th. So endings, beginnings. It's also about what it feels like to me is it's about this understanding of who we are. So it's not so much I have to prove who I am, but it's this, I have to know who I am. I accept that I am a person with an ego, that I have the capacity for compassion and kindness, that I'm choosing to take this path that is, will kind of enlighten me, give me that joy, bring me the balance, the cards we brought up, like that sense of going, yes, and I can do this. This is difficult. This is hard. This is happening. And I get to really put roots down in terms of who I am, as opposed to just kind of responding to the world. Oh, this is happening. I better rush there. I better get in panic or do whatever. So 19, which adds up then to 1 and 9 to a 10, which becomes a 1. So we have that energy of the 0 activating and then the 1. So it's very powerful, new beginnings, pioneering new ideas, very innovative, which we know is the truth because of Uranus and all of these different aspects, Mars and Eris and some of the other aspects. There's a lot of innovation that's happening. And in innovation, there's a lot of collapse breaking down because it's like, you know, the bombs are flying and we've got to find our way through this structure. So 19 has a lot to do with it. The 26th, very powerful number also of self-leadership, the sense of coming to the self, the 8, the acknowledgement of having everything we need to enable to go forward and activate abundance, balance. And also to just mention that, you know, balance or having everything we need is not always what we think we need, right? It's that adjustment. But just knowing we have the capacity to lead ourselves, to see the bigger picture, to take action, to make decisions, to have a vision and to activate the vision for the day. And then for this new moon, which is clearly a huge push forward, like the balloon is busting or the lid is coming out of the champagne bottle and we've got to take action. We've got to move with this energy that is stirring inside of us. The other thing I want to say is this is a 13 universal date because we're in a 12 universal month, so 13 with the 1. And that 13 has shown up over and over again. So it's very much about the activation of the feminine, lead with our intuition as opposed to just respond, reacting, right? Is when we initiate, when we start something new, when we have an idea that comes into us and we take action based on the heart energy of how we want to feel, what we want to create. It's a very empowering kind of shove forward that allows us to realize change, change, change. A lot of unusual, unexpected, maybe unwanted death and the opportunity for renewal.
And you know, the fire energy in it, you know, we've got the sun and the moon at 26 degrees Leo, and Leo is the heart, and Leo is very creative, and Leo is very, well, it's ruled by the sun as well. So it's, you know, time to shine. And so the looking at the positive side of this, this is a really creative new moon as well. And with Mercury right there, that can be, you know, verbally kind of singing your own praises kind of thing and really kind of saying, you know, toot my own horn a little bit through this. And then the grand trine, the fire grand trine, The first end of it is at 24 degrees of Aries in aspect to the new moon, and that's Mars conjunct Eris, which is actually exact only, well, for in the US it's only the day before, so it's only a few hours really before the new moon. And Mars is slowing down to turn retrograde on September the 9th, and Mars and Eris are very dynamic figures here as well, with Eris kind of upsetting the whole apple cart of astronomy when she was discovered. She demoted Pluto, for heaven's sake. And and so she likes to rip off the facade of the vanities of the elites and the ruling classes. So I think this is a real kind of take down and this is not necessarily about the person we've been talking about. I think this is the ruling classes, if you like, generally, with Mars in Aries being very much about cutting it out kind of thing. And I think of the Ghislaine Maxwell stuff that's not really being talked about a lot in the mainstream news, but if anybody's following it, you know, some of the names we've kind of heard talked about for many years, but some of the names coming out from that, this could be potentially really explosive for kind of the people who are kind of the elites, so to speak. And it's quite, that Mars and Eris is quite explosive anyway. And then at the other leg of the Fire Grand Trine on the new moon, we have the South Node in Sagittarius. The releasing end, the tail of the nodal axis, which is what are we letting go of? But the South Node is at 27 degrees of Sagittarius, which is the galactic center. So this is tied into the galactic center, the black hole at the center of the galaxy we inhabit, the Milky Way, which is said to kind of emit new information. So it's kind of, I feel like this is saying a big shift in what we are releasing. And Sagittarius is about things we've thought to be true, things we've believed to be true. It's releasing dogma. So this is, you know, it is a grand trine, which can be a little bit lazy, but it's got that Saturn in Capricorn to say, break, put a balance, put a break on it, put, you know, boundaries up, strong boundaries, create new structures. I think it's exciting, but it could globally be quite a little bit kind of mind-blowing with kind of the energy. We could have earthquakes, right? That kind of energy.
We could have earthquakes, tsunamis, explosions, etc. Just remembering this, to me, this is about it's the build-up of tension. If you think about over the years that since the structure, the patriarchy, has not worked well. I think about it. There's always, certainly since in the last 2,500 years, it's been very forced upon people. So this, all of this anger and anguish and energy that has been used to keep the wheel spinning, and the whole thing with Ghislaine Maxwell is a perfect example of what's at stake here, right? Because in order for the patriarchy to keep going, it's been activated or fed by the subverted power of many, like using or abusing girls for powerful men. That's all about subverting power. It's all about feeding the system of, you're beneath me, I can abuse you, I can do whatever I want to you. And there are many levels of that, and there's a lot of stuff that we all know about that's, or maybe we don't really know, but so many people have experienced this in one way or another, being abused in so many ways. that we have kind of hidden, right? We've pushed down, we've pretended all is well. We look up to these, like, you know, head figures and go, oh, they couldn't do that. That's not possible. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that and the way we've abused the earth, all of those things are all just like building up steam. And now we have these factions like Eris and Mars, the twins, they consider twins. So that twin energy, when they come together, they're bringing together the two aspects that each one misses. Mm-hmm. And really going for the rights and the kind of core integrity, decency of everyone. And this year, 2020, is all about that, that idea of finding the integrity, finding, coming back to the baseline, exploding everything that's out of whack. And yeah. It makes sense that we need to release it, right? So we have this, the South Node is so amazing to think that this is the place that we can, the drain, where we can let go of hiding, we can let go of pretending, we can let go of kind of worshiping and being empowered, you know, being disempowered. This month is about the 12, is a karmic cycle, the end of a karmic cycle. It is also about breaking free from being a victim, right? Yeah. So much of what we've played, like even the stuff we're talking with about before, when we have these figures who consider themselves important and that we can't ask them a question, that we can't hold them accountable because they're above the law, that's all the same energy we're talking about, right? Like we have to have the courage to confront these people and the courage to maybe not, like, you know, face on yelling, but what else can we do? Confront them with our kindness, hold them with love and go, yeah, that's just not going to work, right?
But just question, that's basically it. It kind of made me laugh in the Trump interview with Jonathan Snow. I had to look at it with Trump going, you can't do that. Can't look at those numbers.
Right. And then he answers.
Yeah, I can.
But that's, to me, that was just so brilliant. It's looking at that interview is worth so much because it explains so much confusion that we have around things. It's like, what are the things that we're looking at going, you can't do that, you can't, or I can't, like how we tell ourselves, oh, I can't do that, that's not possible. We don't know. If we go like, yeah, we can, why not? There is no reason. If you have the idea, you can do it because it's in the field. So yeah, it's just, to me, that's the brilliance and the face, like kind of, it's like this idea of being confronted, like Trump being confronted with this idea, like, no, you're not supposed to open that door. Just stay in this room and just keep everything, like, just let me confuse you, because he uses like befuddlement to trick people into, right, forgetting what's my question, what's my person. And it's like we've all been befuddled, right? So now we're like, wait, I haven't been asking the right questions. Like, what am I supposed to be asking about this? You know, it's like, it's so interesting, like remembering we do have power. Right, we can do things, and when the way we do it is by bringing it into the field, speaking. Then we have, Mercury, the mercurial energy of change, right there, helping us to shift through the stuff and ask different questions and kind of go, yeah. And the best thing I think to me of watching Jonathan was his total relaxation, his ease of interviewing, right? He wasn't getting hot under the collar. He didn't,
like, his face was a picture there.
It was, but I mean, he didn't like get mad.
Oh no, he didn't.
He didn't get irritated. There wasn't any energy behind, like, yeah, this is my point and you need to agree with me. Right? No. He didn't have any of that. So that's a really great lesson in terms of how we deal with people that, you know, so how we deal with people that are confrontational, don't want to wear masks or whatever the hell their story is, don't want to look at the right piece of paper. It's like, yeah, I can look at that. You don't need to, but I can, because I got to make sense of this and I have to function in the world I'm in.
And interestingly, you know, Mercury, we've talked about, is conjunct this new moon. And it rules the North Node. We've talked about the South Node. The North Node is our Dharma, if you like, where we're collectively being moved towards. And that's in Gemini, which is Mercury ruled. And that is about listening, communication, voice. But it's about changing your perceptions, changing how you look at things. And, you know, if you haven't watched that interview yet, just watch it. Honestly, it's worth it for Jonathan Snow's face.
But yeah, but it is brilliant because it teaches you so much about understanding. Like, it could even be the two parts of yourself, right? The confused ego and the more kind of expanded intuitive side of the self, kind of asking those questions and going, well, I can do that. I can do this. What about this? Right. It's really brilliant teaching tool. And it is, you know, the face and all of that is brilliant. Yeah. But yes. Just talking about that whole Gemini, the South Node, the North Node, is, you know, Gemini or Mercury is the trickster, the one who offers us curiosity, that offers us different ways of being innovative. So using the ability of our mind to think differently, expand how we think, so we actually do have more, you know, it's interesting, the 27, it's the 999, that's the number of compassion. It's like the one that allows us to truly go, oh, you have a different opinion. I don't need to, you know, get my knickers in a knot around it. I can just go, okay, let me tell you what this is, what I'm feeling. And if you don't understand, then we can move on or change or whatever. But I'm still going to take my own path.
Yeah. Right?
Through curiosity, through opening, expanding, playfulness, and that heart energy, right? Which is, it's just so amazing how these things fit into one another. Mm-hmm. This idea of not only having curiosity, but the Leo, the fact that the Mercury is with Sun and Moon in Leo, at this point of leadership, like perfect leadership, like whatever that is, like this idea of being in balance with going forward. Like, here's this opening. We can break away from just like squabbling about stuff and getting nowhere, right? Just spinning our wheels and going, wait, what's the bigger picture? What do I really want? And how do I get there, right? Using my skills, my curiosity, my spirituality, my, you know, my Dharma to go forward, my destiny.
Now, I do want to remind everybody, I've mentioned it, about the Great American Eclipse on August 21st, 2017. There's a lot of echoes going to come from that eclipse. And I know exactly what really shifted for me under that eclipse. And I was lucky enough to see it in totality in Idaho. But a couple of things I want to mention is that, Mercury is exactly on the degree of the eclipse, so it was 28 Leo. Uranus was at 28 Aries, which is the point that Mars is going to station retrograde at in his own sign. And he doesn't retrograde in his own sign very often. The last time was 1988, the time before that was 1941. So it's not something that happens all the time. And I think that's potentially explosive as well. So at a personal level, I would look at what happened for you from that Great American Eclipse. It's probably going to apply to a lot of people in the US particularly. Jen pointed out when we were talking, preparing for this, that it started in Portland, and we see what's happening in Portland or has been happening. I kind of think there's possibly more of that. Hurricane Irma happened right after it, so just to nudge people's memories a little bit, and that was the highest ever recorded hurricane at the time. I think we've beaten it since, but that was a Category 5 that hit landfall. And so these things are probably going to unfold more over this time. So anything that happened to you back in that time, you know, I think could be resonant. Also, though, speaking of Uranus, who was aspecting that eclipse, on this new moon, he has just turned retrograde. He actually turns retrograde on August the 15th. So just before the new moon, and he's in sextile aspect to Venus in Cancer at 10 degrees. And Venus rules Taurus, where Uranus is now. That's a lot to do with money, values, the Earth again. But I've just occurred to me, actually, that Venus is very close to the Sun of the USA, where the eclipse was the last eclipse, July the 3rd, 13 degrees. That was on July the 4th, sorry, not July the 3rd. And so, you know, there could be financial collapse. They've been talking about it for ages. Somehow the stock market still keeps being propped up while people are facing eviction and all kinds of things because they haven't been able to pay their rent. That could be the trigger, to be quite honest, on this new right. For some real financial kind of meltdown.
Right. And I'm just, as you're talking, what comes to mind or what I'm hearing is that one of the reasons that the stock market still has been doing well is because it's a propped up system. So that could be one of the things, the revelations that come out is about how so much of this has been played with and situated. So it could be one of the scandals, like we're going to be scandals coming out about what's been happening, and that's just going to spiral that whole collapse.
And people finally awakened to the fact
that
the stock market doesn't help most of us.
Right. And it's not a signifier of true wealth in the sense of abundance for all or an equalizer. So there's an energy of equilibrium, and also the fact that Mars and Eris, especially when Mars is in Aries, I have Mars in Aries, so it's very much about the No, I don't have Mars in Aries. What am I saying? Get that part. I have Aries on my ascendant. Anyway, independence. People that have Mars in Aries are fiery about their independence, and they need to break away from old systems and to use kind of this energy, this initiation of fiery, I don't want this anymore, to begin to plant the seeds for what we want, right? As we pioneer something different things with money, like how we exchange and support ourselves and others, mm-hmm. all of those things. Like Eris and
sorry, go on. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I just had a big kind of, there's been a big thing going around, you may not have seen it, but copying and pasting this cashless society. They're trying to take cash away from us. It's big control. And I said to one of these people who's going, I'm going, yeah, but you don't like the control of the government and the Fed, so create a new barter system.
Right. So
things could happen too. Yeah.
Right. Well, every time there's a change in system, right, we have certain things that happen. We have war, we have pandemic, we have a breakdown of the monetary system or whatever it is. So we know we're moving into a different monetary system. I do believe, like you, it's more of an exchange system. This Bitcoin thing is just leading to something else because Uranus, again, is, you know, it's playing a big role. It's just gone for this moon. It will have just gone retrograde. It's very slow moving, but it has a huge impact on the Earth, on the galactic information, on all of this change, on innovation. It doesn't care about that you're not ready, that you haven't prepared. It just shoves it at you, pushes you along. So we have a lot of factors that are just kind of pushing us down the stream where we have to now figure out all the things, and it's about technology and all these things. So all these things we have relied on that have been our system are gone or going away. They're breaking down the monetary system, the even like how we live, etc. It's all collapsing, one thing after another, collapsing, you know, you can hold one thing. It's like having a house that has a leaky roof, and then you try to cover it, and then another hole comes because there's so much pressure, and eventually it's just like everything.
Blowing the roof off.
Right. Right. So having a sense of humor and moving with the energy of what is, and, you know, going like, this, right, this is my opportunity to free myself from my own bondage, my own kind of thoughts about how other people are controlling me, and take my own power back.
You know, going to the cash thing, there's always been some form of cash. You know, my dad used to collect coins, and, you know, coins go back for recorded history, I think, ever. Right. You know, so, you know, they're going, they want us to have no cash. There'll be cash. But it might be in a local area, you know, your little town might have its own little.
Well, yes. And how did they start? Like, you know, just think about how money started. It was like little pieces of paper, IOUs or whatever, right? People like, if you, to it me, what makes.
Coins we've got now, so no.
Well, I personally think that even though we're looking to gold and silver, and people are saying buy gold and silver, those are all systems of the patriarchy. They're all systems of enslavement. So if we, you know, we are obsessed about gold, obsessed about silver, those are the things that have kept us in this place of being enslaved. So to me, we come with, this is what I have, what do you have? We work in our neighborhoods, whatever that looks like. It can be, you know, galactic, it can be global, it can be local. But the point is, we actually don't need money. We need a place to stay. We need food. We need, you know, occupation. We need this.
Yep.
So how do we don't know? So that's, this conversation is not about money. It's just so interesting that people focus the conversation on the money, but it isn't that we need. We need other things. So maybe money is not the way we do it. We have another way of making sure people have their needs taken care of, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's fascinating though how people are stuck to it,
and it's because
you know, it's because stores stopped taking cash because of COVID.
So right. And isn't it interesting how COVID has brought all these things to the front, right? Yeah. And then it's like all those people who are like, well, they're going to still control us. But hey, they control us with our phones. And I was just reading about that whole thing with TikTok. I didn't even know that TikTok, apparently, do you know the whole thing that in China, the part of it, because it was created in China, that they use all the information.
Yeah. Right? I'd heard about it. Yeah.
They take all your information. So, I mean, like, you're like, do you think, I think the credit card is probably the least of your worries, right? In terms of being spied on. And
every one of these around, everybody does.
Right, exactly. They have these grid systems that they're putting up and going, and we want more technology. And everyone's like, I don't care if I have to pay. If you have ads, I don't want to pay for this thing, which like me, no, I pay. So there's no ads and you're not collecting my information. But, you know, we all have our illusions. And I think this moon speaks to that collapsing of our illusions and the aggravation of our sense of self, right? So when we're angry, it's because we have a feeling that we have been cheated in some way. Right? That kind of makes us feel angry. Like, I'm not getting what I want. I need something different. And that's very illuminating, right? Like, we should be illuminated by this idea and go, oh, what do I need? How do I get it without, you know, doing crazy things? You know, some crazy things are good, but I think that's kind of the riskiness of this Martian energy, is, you know, acting on impulse without thinking, but doing like crazy things. Like, if you've got a gun and you go and you shoot someone because you've got a gun and you're in the mood for killing them, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, there could be other wonderful crazy things, like, oh, I'm going to take the day off, I'm going to stop paying attention to the news, I'm just going to paint. Yeah, that's crazy, but at least it's, you know, it's useful. Like, you're not going to land up well, I don't know if you'll land up in jail, but I think if you do kill somebody, it's so soul destructive, right? Like, it impacts the rest of your life, or some other crazy thing. Like, can you get back from that crazy place? Is it going to help you become more of who you are, or is it going to diminish you? You know.
So, just a quick switch, because it's something that came to mind as you were talking, and we did have a question, and I'm not, and it seems to work better to talk about it with what we're talking about, because Kelly asked, she's curious if we have any insights into the energies that Comet Neowise is sharing now, that is, it's passing by the Earth. I'm not going to read her whole question, just that. And I do want to say that on, I've just got the ephemeris that Brett Joseph, another astrologer, formed for the comet. And this comet passed over the degrees of the new moon and Mercury on July the 23rd and 24th. And actually, we're recording this on August the 6th. And his ephemeris only goes up to August the 7th, because I think Neowise is not visible anymore after that. So it's gone before this new moon. But it jumped out at me that it crossed those degrees. It crossed the degrees of some of the eclipses that we've had. And yes, I think it's significant that we've got a comet called Neowise, even if it was named after the machinery that spotted it. It doesn't matter. It says it means new wisdom. And the fact that this new moon is connected with the galactic center as well, I think we're having new wisdom brought into us all the time. And our role, if you like, on this new moon that's happening after Neowise is to really integrate it into what we're creating and take it into our heart, this new wisdom that's coming in. That's how it feels for me. That's kind of why I brought this question up now.
That's great. I love it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I'm definitely with Lou. I believe that anything that comes into our orbit brings its own energy, and the fact that it is called new wisdom and that it kind of came to those degrees in the heart, in the kind of leadership through the heart, is so powerful, because it allows us to take new leadership, a sense of liberation from, you know, our leadership has been external. We've looked to others to show us what it feels like to be a leader. And now we see that so many of our leaders have been fake. They've been false prophets. They have led us to places so that they could profit and we could be used. And so having this new wisdom, or allowing this energy to fill our hearts, gives us the opportunity to lead from the heart, to go, you know, I have compassion because they chose those things, but I'm also wise enough not to follow them, that I'm choosing something different. So a sense of separation from what has separated us, and being more true and honest to what we love, what fills us with joy. Like, why do we want to be miserable and focus on all the shitty things that people are taking away from us? Like, to me, I find that so interesting, that people that focus on all the things we're losing, yeah, instead of what are we gaining? What are we learning? What is becoming more available to us? Like, who cares about those other things? Like, it seems so kind of mind-blowing that we spend all this energy on what's going away, instead of what's expanding, what's opening, so we, you know, becomes more of our wisdom. Yeah. And it's fascinating because, of course, with the 12 this month, it's also connected to wisdom, because 12 is the number of the student, about learning. How do we become more wise? We become more wise when we activate our knowledge. So we're not just thinking things, theorizing. We're actually out in the field doing things, making fools of ourselves, trying new things that we haven't tried, because, hey, we have the wisdom, we have the heart, we have the intelligence, we have the capacity, we have the time, we have all these things to do this. So why would you kind of waste your precious resources on what's going away? It's like,
and I would look for new leaders starting to emerge. And I think that started from the greater eclipse, and you know, then I don't think they're going to look like the leaders we've had before, and I think that we're going to I think we're going to restructure how we lead as well. So I don't think there's going to be one leader, one savior. I think there's going to be a whole group. And, you know, I think of the squad in the USA with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida and a few others. And we've got Cori Bush hopefully coming up as well, a new one. And there's others too. They're not all women as well. There's Ro Khanna. He's fabulous too. They just are a new type of leader. And it may not be them that really come out in the end, in the wash, but it's these new type, new wisdom, again, type of leaders emerging from these energies. And of course, with Leo being the king or the queen or royalty, it's kind of a new kind of leading with the heart. So.
Right. And that's the idea of being in leadership with compassion, with connection, the whole Aquarian thing about how we raise each other together, how we work together, how we all contribute. And to me, that's the kind of the level of leadership I look to. I look for people that are wanting to encourage others to become leaders and teach them and include and value others instead of putting people down, because that's, again, you're focusing on what's going away. It's the negative. How does it help you when you're pushing other people down? It's just, you know, you create that patriarchal system that I'm better than you. And to me, a leader creates a system where everyone is valued, from the, you know, janitor to the person on the top. Everyone has equal value. We just bring what we bring, right? Yeah. But each thing we bring is valuable. And so, yeah, that's a great point. The leadership, new wisdom, new people to follow, new systems to incorporate, and choosing wisely. And I think that just we're changing so much inside of us. We have so much energy to attach to. How are we using this malleable clay to the mutability of change? How are we using it? Are we sitting around, you know, eating bonbons and watching shows and say, oh, life sucks, you know, like, oh yeah, I knew this wouldn't work. Or are you going like, no, I know this can happen and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, we all have to contribute. That's the thing, is we're all connected through our heart. The heart is the wisest organ in our body. It's the most brilliant brain. If your head, you know, if your mind goes and your heart is still alive, you are alive. If your heart dies, you are dead.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, the power of the heart and the knowing. I do want to mention the part about Pluto coming back to the Saturn, Pluto, that whole thing.
Oh, the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, January the 12th, yeah.
Right, which is repeating, so it's being irritated. So we're going to see something. Could be an influx of new cases. It could be a different kind of treatment.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but Pluto is opposing Hygieia in Cancer.
Oh, right.
On the new moon at that 22 degrees, and that's global health. So either something's going to, I mean, I think there's going to be an influx of cases with this energy, but we're seeing
it anyway.
But it could also mean uncovering something that we didn't know about it. You know, the Pluto opposition to Hygieia. So.
Right. New realizations. You know, think about what, you know, you think about Pluto as this energy that exposes the disease, or what creates the disease and maybe brings it up or releases it. It absolutely could be that we discover different things. I was just reading about Wuhan, that apparently, you know, there's new cases from people who were in Russia or something, and now they're saying that it's never gone away, they just haven't reported it. But it's this kind of energy of, I also believe, of how we're looking at things, how we've looked at COVID. Like, we've looked at it from a certain lens, like, oh, we just want it to go away, right? Like, how can we control COVID, right? And now we have to look at a much bigger picture in order to understand and to kind of work with it in a different way. And that's such a great lesson for all of us in how we live our lives. Like, where are we putting our attention and what aspect are we looking at, right?
Because there was an article my husband actually pointed out to me yesterday that one scientist wrote that he said it's never going to go away. We're going to have to learn to live with it. But, and I agree, and it kind of brings me back to, you know, some of my friends who've been like, well, we don't have to wear masks and we don't have to do that because we have to learn to live with it. Well, we have to learn to understand it first before we can learn how to live with it, I think. And I think we have to do all the things. You know, there's been this talk of, well, just do your immune system and just look how we look after the earth. Well, I think we have to do all of those things. But they take time as well. We can't just go, oh, here, let me take a multivitamin and my immune system. It doesn't happen overnight, right? Does it?
Right. Right. Well, you know, there's a great teaching in the world that talks about this idea. Well, we already have it with the vaccine. The principle behind the vaccine is that we need a little bit of the poison in order
That's like homeopathy too.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a lot of how we've lived. Just makes me think of a reading I just did for somebody where they were like, yeah, we have this belief, a lot of us, that we need to have some of the poison in order to create the antibody. And we're moving out of that phase. We don't need it. We need to be whole, which in your whole, you contain everything. So I do think that there's a lot we still have to learn about COVID. And I agree. Like, you know, the whole point about, right, the whole point about COVID, right, was that it was new, that we hadn't had it. But now we have it, so we're all going to have to adapt to having COVID in some way or another. We don't know how it's going to turn out.
We have to learn how to protect those who can't just raise their immune systems, you know.
Right.
Like my daughter's boyfriend, who's diabetic, you know, type 1. He can't do anything about his diabetes.
Right, he can't take a vitamin and say, okay, it's gone. Right, which, you know, helps us understand that this is a complex. I think what's really interesting about it is that it's complex. And most of us, we've been spoon-fed things that are, like, we want to make it super, like, basic.
Yeah.
And it isn't, right? It's something very complicated, and you can't just, you know, you just can't reduce it to like a word or everybody do this. It's kind of like what you and I were talking about in terms of.
Or just treat your, because the whole thing, virus itself is complex.
Right. And I think it was Clyde who on Facebook who talked about, he's got that book on viruses and how viruses, very interesting that they find a way to go to the place where they'll be able to reach the most target because they want to live, right? So they'll come to the surface of your skin or whatever. They'll push out. That's their point, is they want to get as close as they can to whatever, you know, to living, right? So when we understand that this is a living organism, right? It's like, how do you treat it? If you treat it like a guest you don't want, then you're probably activating the energy, right? And it becomes like it controls you, right? So I do think that it's actually going to shift next year. Once all of the stuff starts moving, it's going to in February, March.
Well, we'll have learned how to. I'm not, when I say it's not never going away, I don't mean we're going to be in the state we're in now with it, but I think it's always going to be there and we'll have learned how to live with it and deal with it.
Right. Like all those other things, AIDS and stuff like that, didn't go away.
HIV's still there, yeah.
It just didn't have the same intensity. But obviously there's a reason why it's here and it's doing this. And this is just part of, you know, this is the destiny, our destiny or dharma of growth is, well, we're a stubborn race, so species. Yeah. We haven't been listening, so I guess this is making us listen.
It really is. And it kind of made me laugh when I saw a whole thing going around about how the vaccine is going to change, alter our DNA. I'm like, well, I think our DNA is being altered anyway. So if a vaccine comes along and that's
Right.
part of it, then that's part of it.
Well, I think we're so terrified of change, but all of these things we're experiencing are changing us. You know, having cell phones, this energy from the galactic world, working with computers, we're all constantly changing, upgrading, and that's what it is. We're adapting to our change, and our systems are growing. So to me, that's what I get from the records. This is all about our growth. It doesn't really matter. Like, people start to parse where it comes from. Like, oh, if somebody created it, it's a false. But everything comes from the universe. So there is nothing that's,
Yeah.
it can't be here. If it's here, it can't, it can't have faked its way in. Yes, it comes in different ways, but it's here because it's in some way, shape, or form is part of our experience.
Exactly.
So we're upgrading. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's some right. we're
Are we
we're
upgrading?
moving away from oxygen. Okay.
Are we
Cut
upgrading?
out, I couldn't hear.
Are we upgrading or just changing? I don't know. That's
Right.
just.
It's kind of the same thing. Upgrading, changing, it's really the same thing, isn't it? It's just two different words. Like, I think the positive is you say upgrading makes you feel like you're doing something good, right? Like, oh, something positive. And if you just like change, it's like, oh. But
Just reminds
yeah,
me.
it's
We're ascending, but I know you didn't mean that. I'm just like,
I always laugh when I hear
I
that,
do
ascending, because it's so weird. Like, we're here to be in our bodies, and if we're ascending, then we're not, we're not rooted. And when we're in a spirit form, we can do anything. So, the challenge is to be able, right? The challenge is to do it in your body.
Exactly. So we should read our symbols.
We
So,
should.
shall I go first this time?
Yes.
Okay, so the Chandra symbol for, well, it's Leo 27 because we always go up a number because the channeled symbols start at one and the degrees start at zero. So we always go up. So it's a beaded curtain, a double identity, outwardly conventional, appropriate, legitimate, and orthodox. Inwardly alien, cosmic, involved with other realities, and boldly exploring the infinite. You feel compelled by inner necessity to maintain both worlds and to serve the outer by bolstering goodwill everywhere. Yet this is achieved with a fraction of your awareness and sensibility. Meanwhile, the depths, the heights, the many worlds beyond are there. Are attended to, are thoroughly made your own. You are the iceberg person with a wonderful tip showing and a fabulous wealth of goodies inside to partake in endlessly. So I just love that because I think it is revealing our inner depths and that what we've been hiding, to be quite honest. So.
Right. The treasure within, that's the Holy Grail, is who we are within. So that's very powerful. Just, and I love that, the beaded curtain that looks like one thing, and then inside is all that cosmic and active energy. Like, all of us, we look at people, we see the shape of the person, we have our judgments, but the inside is so immense, like, goes on forever. Brilliant. Okay, so the Sabian symbol, Leo 27, the luminescence of dawn in the eastern sky, and the keynote is the exulting challenge of new opportunities at the threshold of a new cycle. While the rainbow marks the end of a crisis, early dawn indicates the real beginning of the new period of activity. In the biblical symbolism, Noah plants his vineyard, begins to teach the secret doctrine which inherited from the Son of God, who had not been sucked down into whirlpools of materiality. After the peak experience in which we touch our divine potentialities, comes the struggle with everyday problems. That at first, the state of deep inner exaltation remains within us. We are aglow with its promise. The crisis and blessings it has brought to us are relatively unusual events. Every day has its dawn where we should meet with a pure heart and a clear mind. The Alpha, the Dawn, and Omega, the concluding peak experience, are opposites yet the same. And the key word here is illumination.
And I think both these symbols really are very hopeful about what, you know, we have to remember this is a new moon. So it's a new cycle, a new start, and revealing something very creative with that energy. So, and the sun ruling Leo, illumination as well. So, you know, whilst it's going to be a little bit crazy, this energy coming up, I find this new moon fills me full of hope, to be honest.
Right. Well, the quote that came to mind when you were talking was, it's always darkest before the dawn. And I do think what's really important, well, for me, what's really hopeful, exciting, is that we're being given an opportunity to change, that we're given an opportunity to become part of the change, and not to fear that, but to step in boldly, courageously, with, you know, with a vision of what we desire, and understand that our boundaries are what will help us move through this. Mm-hmm. So we can't run away from the turmoil that's going to come, but we can certainly be here with love, with open arms, with acceptance, with this idea that, you know, here we are, we're in it, and we get to decide, you know, what's the next step and what our focus is. And how brilliant is that? Like, how many people, how many ages get to be on the ground? Yeah. In something like this.
Wonderful. Yay. So Jen, how can people find you?
So people can find me at jendushen.com, my website, which is jendushene. And I have my readings, the cards are there. I also have a YouTube channel, so come and check me out. I do weekly whatever's somethings on YouTube. I don't know what it's called. Videos. There you go. I do weekly videos with the cards, and always welcome new subscribers, etc. I have Instagram, Facebook. I have a group, We Belong Here. I also have a paid group as well. So all of that, you can find jendushen.com, or just look me up. I'm somewhere out there.
And I'm Louise Eddington, louiseeddington.com, louiseeddington. And I do astrology readings. I also have membership portal at three different levels, a bit like a Patreon, but not on Patreon. And you get rewards for different levels of support for my work. And I do two kinds of readings now, actually. I do a pre-recorded reading, or if somebody wants a one-on-one consultation, they're slightly different price, but they're both on my website now. And what else? Oh, my books. Yeah, two books, The Complete Guide to Astrology and Modern Astrology. Both doing really well. If you don't own them, go buy them, or or leave me a review if you do own them, and please. And yeah, YouTube, Cosmic Owl Astrology, Facebook page, Cosmic Owl Astrology, Instagram, Cosmic Owl Astrology, a Facebook group, Cosmic Owl Astrology Cafe. I changed the name to be in line with everything else. So yeah, find the Cosmic Owl and you'll find me. So for now, it's goodbye from Lou.
And goodbye from Jen.